Good morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone is a place where all are welcome, no matter who you are, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. We believe that we are better when we are together. And so if you are our guest, we are grateful that you've chosen to be with us for worship today. And we hope that you'll take a moment to stop by and visit with one of our pastors as you leave worship this morning. But in the meantime, we hope that you can feel a warm Greystone welcome from those around you in the pews. Today is a special Sunday here at Greystone as we celebrate our senior adults. We give thanks for the senior adult team and for the many hours that they have spent planning today's worship service and planning the luncheon that will be immediately following this service today. We also give thanks for those who have stepped up and who have offered to lead us in worship, offering their gifts for our benefit. So we give God thanks for them. Also today, we welcome a guest preacher to our pulpit, Reverend Dr. Richard Wynn. His face and name will be familiar because he and his wife Betty have been attending here for quite some time in retirement. Both of them ministers, ordained ministers, who have served churches in the Raleigh area for many years. Richard served St. John's Baptist as pastor for 31 years and has served 21 months as an interim pastor as well. And so I know that God will use him and speak through him to bring us a good word today. So you're all in for a treat. As we prepare ourselves for worship today, we ask that God's Spirit blow into this place and move among us and within us and around us. So let us prepare ourselves, heart, mind, body, and soul, to worship God together.
Sheol and restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to God's holy name. For God's anger is but for a moment, favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Words of assurance from our holy text. Will you stand with me and sing words of assurance from our tradition?
Okay, there we go. I didn't think you wanted to listen to me today. Okay, good morning, everyone. I have a question for you. Does anyone know what special day is next Sunday? Walker. Well, you're right, it is, but there's something else that's a special day for a lot of people that aren't even members of our church. But you are right about that. Does anybody know? What is it, Santa Rose? Mother's Day. Okay. Do you sometimes give your mom something special on Mother's Day? No? Some of you do, some of you don't. Okay. That's okay. Well, I want you to imagine with me. I want you to use your imagination and imagine that you gave your mother the most expensive and most wonderful gift you can think of. But you also had a fight with your brother or sister. You were mean to someone intentionally. And you stole something from someone. Do you think your mom would be pleased? No, she wouldn't, would she? Okay, so do you think maybe your actions are even more important than gifts that you give? Well, today you'll hear someone read some verses from the book of Micah in the Old Testament part of our Bible. And the writer of this verse says, "What gifts should I bring to God?" And then he goes on to list some things that were really special back then, really, really expensive and that were good gifts. But he said, but God has told us what he wants. And what he wants is for us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Some of you know that verse from a camp you went to one time. But let's think about what that means. To do justice, to be fair, to treat other people fairly, no matter who they are. Even if they're not fair to you, God wants us to be fair to everyone. To love mercy is to be kind and to forgive people, even if they've done something wrong. God wants us to be forgiving. And to walk humbly with our God. In Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible called The Message, he says it like this: to not take yourself too seriously, but to take God very seriously. To know that God is bigger and more holy than we are, and he wants and deserves our love and our worship. In the New Testament book of Matthew, there's some verses that help us to remember how to live this way. And Jesus says in these verses, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A commandment is something that we're told to do. We're not just asked to do it, we're told to do it, right? So Jesus was saying the most important thing we have to do is to love God. And when we love God with our whole self, then we're walking humbly with God. Jesus went on to see there's a second commandment that's also very important, and that is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus is not talking about just loving the person who lives in the house next door, but he's talking about loving everyone that we come in contact with as much as we love ourselves. And if you love everyone as much as you love yourself, you'll be fair to them, won't you? And you'll be kind and you'll show mercy to them. That's how God wants us to live, and that pleases God.
Reading from the prophet Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?
Let us join our prayers together. We welcome you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we seek you as much as you seek us. On this Senior Adult Day, we are thankful for the contributions of senior adults to this church and for the contributions they will continue to make. We thank you for those who will lead into our future. May our past experiences with you, Father, propel us forward to your future. As seniors, may we encourage young men and women to see visions, and may we dream dreams along with them to discover your plan for Greystone. Father, may we see the new thing that you want us to see. May we join together and be willing to risk for you. May we not be content to stay inside these walls, but may we go to a community that needs your love. As we age, we experience gains and losses. Because life distracts us, sometimes we forget how much you care for us. We are thankful, Father, that you are present in all of life. May we not worry so much about what we have lost, but concentrate on your blessing and what you want us to do. Life has shown us good people and not so good people. May we choose mercy and compassion over hatred. May we choose people over ideas. Above all, may we demonstrate the love that we have experienced in you. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Will you join me in prayer? Transforming God, we come to your altar this morning knowing that in our giving and in our living, we have often put just enough into living our faith so as not to impact our lifestyle or cause too much discomfort. We have been reluctant to let go of our affinity for the things of this world, and in our attachments, we have often missed the opportunity for the transformed lives you desire for us. May our offering this morning be an invitation to living a life radically transformed by your power, love, and grace. We pray this in the mighty love of Jesus. Amen.
Table. Scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." May God add understanding to the reading of the lesson.
Thanks be to God.
I'm grateful for the invitation to be here today. At first, when Pastor Chrissy asked me to come, I was a little offended. It's preaching on Senior Adult Sunday? Is there a message there? And then I realized, I looked in the mirror and I said, yeah, I am one. But it's good to be here. We've been worshiping here for several months now and have really felt at home. You know, when you leave a pastorate and leave a ministry, you can't go back to that church. And we've been churchless, but we felt at home here among friends and neighbors. And Cynthia's a neighbor. Carl and Lou are neighbors. Known Johnny and some others, Pete and from Scouts. And it's good to be here. And Barbara Crabb, she was my nurse a long time ago. How do you want to be remembered? Hey, I know you're thinking, Pastor Chrissy's been doing a great job up until now. Her guest preacher's lost his mind. He thinks all senior adults have one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. What does he mean? How do you want to be remembered? Well, I'm not speaking just to senior adults today, even though this is Senior Adult Sunday. That's a question I would ask anybody of any age, especially as we go through these post-resurrection days. If we're not happy with our lives, now is the time to do something about it. Now is the time to change how we're living and what we're doing with our lives. And so again, I ask, how do you want to be remembered? Some people's lives are summarized in an epitaph on a tombstone. Sadly, these words mark the grave of one man. "Here lies a man who did no good, and if he'd lived, he never would. Where he's gone or how he fares, nobody knows, nobody cares." Tough words. Would you want to be remembered like that? You know, the Bible has several family tree lists. And one in Genesis chapter 5, the writer is listing the descendants of Adam. And he's telling about how long these people lived and how many children they fathered. And as the reader is just about to get bored by the monotony, all of a sudden we run across something a little different. We find somebody who did something noteworthy. His name was Enoch. And the fact that he was the father of the man who still holds the longevity record was not the most important thing about Enoch's life. What was? He's remembered for walking with God. And that word "walked" is used in a metaphorical sense, meaning to live with, meaning every step he took with God by his side. Everything he did with God by his side. And as a result, Enoch never died. Enoch is remembered for walking with God. How do you want to be remembered? Jesus was once asked by a group of Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, the people who were always on his case, what was the most important commandment of the law? It was as if they were saying, "Jesus, if you can throw away everything that's not important, what will be left for us to live by?" And Jesus answered with these verses that we know so well. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. How obedient are you? Are you going to be remembered for being an obedient keeper of these two commandments? Some 7 centuries before Jesus, the prophet Micah started asking questions openly about what God expects. Micah is seen by many people as a courtroom case, and God is laying out the charges against Israel. All that Israel has done wrong. And Micah starts thinking, well, wait a minute. What can I do that will please God? And he thinks about the religious heritage of his people. And Micah wonders if burnt offerings are those things that will make God happy. Or he goes a step farther and he says, what if I give my firstborn child as a sacrifice? Will God be pleased with that? And then it's almost as if a light bulb comes on in his mind as the truth suddenly hits him right between the eyes. God doesn't want things from me. God wants me. God wants my life, all that I am. And all that I am is best understood in those things Jesus said a few centuries later. It's best seen in how we relate to God and the way we treat God's children. What does the Lord require of me, Micah asked. And then comes that surprising answer. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. So live, says Micah, and your life will be pleasing to God. So what's Micah telling us to do? The first of God's expectations has to do with the social dimension, to do justice. Justice, says Micah, is something one does. It doesn't just happen. We have to put forth effort to make justice happen. And it's not something done just by somebody else. It's something done by all of God's children. Justice basically means that a person should get what he or she deserves, whether that be punishment or blessing. And the call to do justice often makes many Christians uncomfortable. Sometimes it's easier to say that what happens in society or in politics or in business or even in our homes is not the concern of the church. Our business, we're reminded, is to save souls and to help the needy. That's true. But the gospel suggests that our response to the evil of the world, which is behind the injustice, is equally important. We do serve God as we provide food and clothing to needy people. But is it not also our task to work to prevent and, when possible, to eliminate the conditions that cause people to be needy? It's our duty to comfort the victims of war. But is it not also our duty to work for a just and lasting peace in this world? It's our responsibility to minister to those who are victims of violence. But is it not also our responsibility to work to eliminate the causes of senseless violence in our homes and on our streets? If I read the Bible correctly, the answer to each of those questions is yes. Fiorello LaGuardia was the longtime mayor of New York City, and he often served in the court system of the city. And the story is told that a woman was arrested and taken to court for stealing a loaf of bread. When LaGuardia learned that her husband had no job and her family was hungry, he supposedly said, I'm sorry, but the law can make no exceptions. You stole, and therefore I have to punish you. I order you to pay a fine of $10. LaGuardia then continued, "But I want to pay the fine myself." And so he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a $10 bill and he handed it to the woman. And as soon as she took the money, LaGuardia said, "I now suspend your fine and you can keep the money. Furthermore," he said, "I'm instructing the bailiff to pass a hat to everybody in this courtroom, and I'm fining them all 50 cents for living in a city where a person has to steal to buy bread to feed their family." So the story goes, the woman left the courtroom that day with almost $50, and in the eyes of the judge, justice had been served. According to Micah, God is pleased when we work for justice for all people. The second thing which Micah says pleases God moves us from the social dimension to the personal, to love kindness. Chesed, a wonderful Hebrew word. And it's a word that, as Micah implies, says a steadfastness. It says love goes on in spite of what happens between two people. It doesn't matter what you do to me, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm still going to seek the best for you. All of my energies will be directed toward doing for you and giving to you the best life has to offer. And that's agape. That's the love Jesus modeled for his disciples and his enemies, and indeed for the whole world. Within normal human ability, such loving is impossible. But when we allow the Spirit of God to rule in our hearts, sometimes we are able to love even those who hurt us deeply. Mary Sue and Billy Joe, their names changed to protect their identities, were among our dearest friends in a former church. Both had been previously married. Mary Sue reared her own children and then willingly took on the task of taking in and loving Billy Joe's children. And she also cared for his sister and mother as their health declined and they eventually died. Billy Joe traveled with his job and was gone several nights every week. Mary Sue was a grandmother figure, not only to our children, but to every child in that church. We were very close with them. We went out to eat with them almost every Friday night. Soon after we moved here, I got a call from a very distraught Mary Sue. Billy Joe had informed her that he had met someone else in his travels. There was no changing his mind. The marriage with Mary Sue was over. And as soon as the divorce was final, Billy Joe and his new companion married. Well, just about the entire community sided with Mary Sue and basically turned their backs on Billy Joe because of what he had done. Yet after just a few years, his new wife was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and she lived only a few months. Billy Joe told me himself that the only person in town who befriended his new wife, who sat with her and cared for her when she was too weak to care for herself, who brought food on a regular basis and loved her in a Christ-like way, was, you guessed it, the former wife, Mary Sue. In spite of the way she had been treated, in spite of the hurt and the pain she had experienced, of all people, she exhibited the love and compassion which she had learned from Jesus. Could you have loved like that? And yet that's what's behind the word that Micah uses when he tells us to love kindness. A love that never quits, that continues to be kind in spite of the deep hurt, is, in Micah's words, a second thing that pleases God. The third thing, according to Micah, it has to do with the spiritual side of life, to walk humbly with God. Now, as important as the adverb humbly is, the key word, I think, is walk. because it suggests one's relationship is not based on a one-time event, but is instead a long process, a pilgrimage, a daily journey of faith with the Lord. You know from personal experience that choosing to walk with God does not exempt any of us from the trials and tribulations of life. But choosing to be with God does help the pilgrim to live with the assurance that he or she will never walk alone, regardless of the circumstance. And yet it's very easy for us to doubt God's presence. We can identify with the man in that Footprints in the Sand poem. In retrospect, most of the time he sees two sets of footprints in the sand, and he can say with absolute assurance that God was with him during those times. But he also notices only one set of prints during his most difficult times and feels that he's been deserted by God. Yet God tells the traveler that he's wrong. God never left him. In fact, it's in those most difficult times when there is just one set of prints that God is literally carrying that traveler. We can't always see God. That's where faith comes into the picture. I love the Christmas movie, Miracle on 34th Street. I know bringing up the topic Christmas may make some of you feel anxiety. You probably haven't even put all your Christmas decorations away yet, have you? And it's almost time to get them out again. In that movie, Maureen O'Hara tells Natalie Wood a very important statement. Faith is believing in something when common sense tells you not to. I think that's a great definition of faith. Faith is an important part of walking with God because God is not always found in a form that can be seen with the human eye. Something just tells us that God is present and is dependable and is available to us. There's someone out there somewhere who knows our sin, who feels our pain, and who wants something more, something better for us. We have to believe. That's God, who most of the time we cannot see, but some of the time we can feel. A daily walk with God should lead us to a deeper faith. At the end of the Second World War, Allied soldiers were going from houses and farms throughout Germany looking for snipers. At one abandoned house, almost a heap of rubble, searchers with flashlights found their way into the basement. And there they saw, scribbled onto the wall, a Star of David. And beneath that Star of David was written this message: I believe in the sun, even when it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it is not shown. I believe in God, even when he does not speak. I hope that will be our experience as well. To know that God is with us, that God cares for us, that God is working on our behalf, even when there's little outward evidence of it. Okay, how do you want to be remembered? I'm sure you'd like to be remembered for a lot of different things, but perhaps one of those things is to be remembered for living a life that is pleasing to God. And Micah gives us a simple guideline to follow: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. These are the things which please God. Are you being an obedient follower? Are you living a life that pleases God? Now that the Scripture has been proclaimed, we have the opportunity to let the Spirit speak to us and tell us how we should respond. Amen.
There is no greater opportunity to practice the skills of a life that pleases God than that which we find around this table. This is God's table of abundance, of welcome, of grace, of more than enough for all. And so as we enter into a time of communion, as we consider how the Spirit is calling us to live our lives in a way that pleases God, we have an opportunity to try it out here today around this table. Christ invites all people to come to this table, all who love God, and all who earnestly repent of their sin, seeking to live at peace with one another and with God. All who hunger and thirst to know the presence of Christ in their lives are welcome at this table. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the extravagant love that you have shown to us in the life of Jesus. We give you thanks for meeting us just as we are and still calling us your beloved children. We give you thanks for the spirit in which you call us forward and for meeting us in the many wildernesses of our lives. Most of all, O God, we give you thanks for the holy mystery of this table and for the grace we encounter at it. As we receive this holy meal, remind us that the grace we find in communion is not limited to this time or this place. Remind us that your gift is ours to share anywhere, everywhere, and with all people. Call us to go about our lives from this moment on, radiating your love and seeking your peace and bringing your comfort to all of those who are in need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On the night that Jesus was arrested, he found himself around a table similar to this one with his friends and his followers. And during the meal, he took the bread and he gave thanks. And he blessed the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." And in the same way, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he blessed it and poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of life poured out for you." Each time you gather around this table and you share this sacred meal, do so in remembrance of me, Jesus says. Friends, this is our holy food for the sacred journey. The table is ready. Thank you. of Christ broken for you. The cup of life poured out for you. Sisters and brothers, having received the grace of God around this table, let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
May we offer our response to what does the Lord require of us this morning?
Amen. Church, you for worshiping with us. As always, your presence and worship makes this a greater worship service for all who are here. I'm going to invite Becky Sansbury up. She has an announcement from the nominating committee.
Would you take just a moment and take your worship guide and look at the very front? I know we've been using the words inside to help us, but I'm going to invite you to look at the cover. You may recall that earlier in this year, Pastor Chrissy preached a sermon about our talents and then invited us to take a slip of colored paper and write down at least one of them. And those were collected and made into this beautiful mosaic, representative of the talents and gifts within Greystone Baptist Church. That was a wonderful and reflective exercise for us. Now we get to put it to work. The nominating committee needs your help and your input. Did you happen to see outside of the sanctuary this morning a very large poster that contains the different committees and vacancies within Greystone Baptist Church? Well, if you didn't, you'll have a chance to see it after worship today and for one or two more Sundays. This is a way for you to know what is going on in part of the active work of Greystone Baptist Church. There is a card with a short survey that's beside that poster. It gives you an opportunity to let us know about gifts, skills, experience, and interests that you have that might be helpful within our faith community. Now, if you're thinking, I got an email this week that had a survey that asked some of those same questions, don't be concerned. It's the same thing. Some people would rather write down their answers on a card, and some people would rather answer a survey online. They both work. The important thing is that we don't want to overlook any of the talents and the skills within Greystone Baptist Church. As a church where every member is a minister, we are also a mosaic of shared gifts. So please provide your input so our church can work together using the talents that God has given to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky. One of the many teams that we are all so familiar with is the senior adult team, so we are grateful for this being Senior Adult Sunday, for the senior adults who have led in worship this morning, and for those who are preparing the lunch that we are about to share. So if that's something you plan on doing, I remind you that the senior adult lunch is following this service in the fellowship hall as you will have a chance to make your way down. So we hope to enjoy that time. And one last thing by way of reminder, do take note in your bulletin that this is the last Sunday we will see Amanda for a while. So we bless her as we send her on her time of rest and renewal that is a sabbatical. We will see her again in mid-June. There are several books listed in the bulletin if you are interested in reading alongside her over the next few weeks and praying alongside her, as we hope this is a time of rest and renewal. We are excited for her during this season. Again, thank you for being here in worship, and let us continue in worship by singing together.
To be here today and to worship with you. Go out and in all of life worship God. May the love of God, which gives life to the world, sustain you. May the bread of life, Jesus Christ, feed you with food that endures to eternal life. And may the power of the Holy Spirit nourish and strengthen you in faith as you live and as you love and as you serve. In Jesus' name, amen.